B-Pod Studios.
Just an absolutely incredible story. This gentleman has a book coming out next month, and it's a book just waiting to be published. And I went and talked to Haney. I said, Haney's a Dolphin, old school Miami Dolphin fan. And I said, let me throw a name out there to you, Haney. Marlon Briscoe. And right off the bat, Haney said, receiver for the Dolphins, 17-0 season. I said, yeah. And I said, also, back in 1968, he became the first African-American to start in an NFL game. It was the American Football League back then, the Denver Broncos. Marlon Briscoe is on the phone with us right now. Good afternoon, Marlon.
Good afternoon, Stan and Haney.
1968, you go your rookie season and you start for the Denver Broncos. Now, a lot of people do not know what the climate, the racial climate, the political climate was in 1968 and what an achievement that was. Tell us about that time.
Well, actually, I think a lot of people know what the racial climate and political climate of those days, and I don't think they knew that it carried over into professional sports. And, of course, 1968 was a very tumultuous year in a decade of the 60s where you had the Olympics with Tommy Smith and John Carlos.
Yep.
You had Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy. You had you had the war in Vietnam. You had expressions of drugs, and it was just that 68 just stood in my mind as a year when a lot of things happened.
And what kind of pressure was on you when here you are, a young guy? You're what, 23 years old?
Actually, I was only 22.
Wow! And you get the call because the starter for the Broncos injured. You get the call that you're going to go. Did you know what kind of history making moment that was for you at the time?
At the time, it didn't dawn on me. I approached it as going in being a quarterback. And being a black quarterback never registered that much to me until a lot of people brought it out. And, of course, as it was brought to my attention, I realized that it was a very historic event. And the ramifications that would follow, whether my being a success or a failure, would have echoing repercussions with quarterbacks, African-American quarterbacks, after me. If I had or failed, it would have probably been a step back.
And I know 14 touchdowns that season. I mean, which I believe is it still a record for a rookie quarterback?
Yes, for Denver.
For Denver.
For Denver rookie, yes it is.
14 touchdowns, and here's the thing. You are told after the season that, oh, well, guess what, Marlon, you're too short to be a quarterback. Not telling everybody the real reason that they didn't want an African-American quarterback.
I should have at least have an opportunity to succeed or fail. I never asked to be handed the starting quarterback job, but I just felt that I earned at least an opportunity to compete.
And you said to yourself, hey, I'm not going to quit on this thing. I'm going to become a receiver. And after Denver, it was to Buffalo and then to Miami. Let me ask you one quick thing before we get to Miami. Did you ever play under head coach Lou Saban?
What, at Buffalo?
Yeah.
No, he was traded me on his plane ride from Denver to Buffalo.
Oh, he did.
I was it's deja vu all over again. Now I'm at Buffalo, and I'm an established receiver and established in the community. And however, I had played out my options, so that was godsend for him, so he didn't have to deal with the controversy of trading me. I was already playing out my option, although I would have negotiated with Buffalo, but when he got the coaching job, I knew right then that was not going to be an option.
Now you go to Miami. You're part of that undefeated 17-0 team. You get yourself a couple of Super Bowl rings. I ask this about everybody that's played for the Miami Dolphins. Don Shula, I have not heard a bad thing said about him from his players. You have to admire Don Shula.
Oh, absolutely. I thought I knew the game and had success you know, individually as a player, but I never really learned the game of professional football until I got to the Miami Dolphins. And, of course, Coach Shula changed my attitude in the cerebral approach to the game. I felt I always had the physical talents, but the mental toughness that he exuded that carried over from his personality, which most teams mirror their coach, was something to behold. And you know, I'm forever indebted. In fact, he wrote the foreword for my book, so that goes to show you what kind of a coach.
Absolutely, coach is. Yeah. And would you say that those years were some of your happiest in the NFL?
Oh, absolutely. You know, being on a team like that that was so successful, and being around the guys that took the approach that we're going to win as a team, just like the New England Patriots won that the last Super Bowl. We played as a team. We had a lot of guys on that team that individually, if they wanted to be, you know, individually starved, like a Paul Warfield, you know, I mean, to me, he was the greatest receiver ever played. But he played on teams that ran the ball. But he didn't complain. He did his job, as did all of us, and we approached it like a business, and we had fun at it. And so, you know, that team, we feel, although a lot of some might not disagree, was the greatest team ever. I mean,
you're not going to get any disagreement out of us. No.
Well, there are a lot of people that have compared that team with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they fail to realize we beat the Steelers to get to the Super Bowl. So
that's right, and you know, no other team can say they were 17-0.
Exactly.
Now, a huge chapter in your life occurred after you got out of football, and I am reading the article that was on the ESPN website, and I'm going, holy cow, this is unbelievable. You got out of football in 77, and you fell into the bad trap of the crack cocaine.
Exactly, and it's a... You know, it's a real sad chapter in my life, but nevertheless, it did happen. But the good thing about it is I overcame it and got up out of it alive, which was, you know, shouldn't have happened probably, but it did. God saved my life, and, you know, it's been going upward ever since.
Essentially, you the way that the article was, you should be dead. You
absolutely.
Should be.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at, you've been shot at, you've been robbed, you were kidnapped by the Crips.
Yep.
What happened there?
Well, you know, it was an unsettled drug debt that it wasn't entirely my fault, but I was getting the blame for it by somebody else who was saving their neck. And, you know, to any drug addict, or especially kids, when you succumb to peer pressure, which I did, that's how I got involved in drugs in
sure.
the first place. You know, the friends around you that do drugs and offer you drugs are not your friends. And they will save themselves at your expense. And that's basically what happened.
And you know what? You came out of that. And in the article, another guy who's been on this show and, of course, longtime head coach at Bethune-Cookman College, former teammate of yours, Larry Little. I mean, you call him a close friend, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, and I guess it was a Dolphins reunion that they were at, and he looked across the room, didn't recognize you. You guys embraced and started talking about the old days.
Exactly, and I was his best man.
So, and he didn't recognize you.
Yeah, it wasn't a reunion. It was during a period when I had, during my spiral, when I went down to Miami I guess it was a reunion and of sorts, and, you know, I was heavily into the drug culture at that time, and had gone down there, and Coach Shula didn't recognize me either.
Oh, man.
So, but, you know, that was back in the 80s when, you know.
When it was tough. I mean, life was tough for you. And, you know, before I talk about the positive side that came out of this, it's funny, you know, because you had a reputation being on an undefeated team. In those dark days on the streets, you had a nickname on the street, didn't you?
Yeah, 17-0.
They called you 17-0.
Yeah. You know, there were, you know, people who knew my history as a player, and they even knew I was the first black quarterback, you know, because a lot of the addicts on the street are not just street people. A lot of them came from, you know, successful backgrounds,
sure,
just like I did. So there's a misnomer in that crack cocaine addict is just a down and out, you know, uneducated, good for nothing. But you become that, you know, when you get on it. But that's not the at the outset. A lot of people that I know personally were you know, successful people.
And now you're working with the kids. I mean, going right to the heart of the matter. I mean, you're working at the Watts Willowbrook Boys and Girls Club in South Central L.A., and you see these kids. And, I mean, in your heart, you got to know, I got to set these kids on the right track.
Well, you know, absolutely. I grew up with that, club in Omaha, Nebraska called the Woodson Center. And, you know, they helped us become Renaissance people, Renaissance kids, and learning, making us aware of not being one-dimensional, you know, being able to do a lot of different things with your life. And so you always have something to fall back on. And I see a lot of kids that they see these multi-million-dollar contracts, and they have these dreams and aspirations of becoming professional athletes. Well, there has to be something else in life than, you know, just aspiring to be following up pipe dreams and
sure,
use the plumbing.
Yeah, sure.
But you know, it's important that they learn and not be disappointed if they don't make the next plateau. Strive for it, but if you don't make it, have something else to look forward to. Even if you do make it, still have something to look forward to, because even if you make it, there are a lot of obstacles that are going to be in your way, a lot of new things are going to be presented to you because of who you are as an athlete. And you can see that that's prevalent in our professional sports society today.
You know what? God bless you. You know, you came from riches to rags, and you're back again. It's been a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, the pleasure's mine, Stan, and thanks for having me on your show.
All right, and we'll hopefully talk again soon.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Anytime. Bye.
Marlon Briscoe. That's an incredible story.
17-0. I didn't know crack was around in 1977.
Evidently it was, because he used it.
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show it so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. They'll fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney all afternoon. We like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stan and Haney.
This is a symbol that you'll be seeing a lot from now on. It stands for the something wonderful that happens. The richer and more satisfying life your family can enjoy through the well-planned use of
Stan and Haney.
And one of the best things is this. Your family, every family can afford it.
96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Monday edition. There are people at this radio station that I don't give a second thought to, and then there are others here that I really like, and we have a new hire.
Who's fascinating.
She's wonderful. We were just talking to her before we were coming and speaking of a new hire, I guess. John is official today. I guess he's at some point today, he's going to be in the system as an employee.
Will he be a card holder?
He will be a card holder. I think the keyboard and the strokes of the keyboard are going in, and he's going to be, he doesn't realize now, but he's going to be dragged into the Beasley system. And jeez.
You know. Now.
Best of luck to him.
I mean, he volunteered.
He did. He said, bring it on.
Evidently, the student has become the teacher.
Yes,
rapidly.
Very rapidly, as Junior over the weekend went and copied John, our new producer.
He's trying to look exactly like John.
Yep. Went and shaved his head down, got the glasses on. Boy, you evidently
what,
were
what is
influenced.
Wrong with you?
I just need a choker now. That's it.
Why are you doing this?
Oh, these hurt. I have to take them off.
Yeah, why are you doing it? Why with
those,
the
those
head,
are prescription,
head
yeah.
shaving? Look at the tan line on that head shave, too.
Well, I do this every couple months. I shave my head. Not really this low. I went down all the way.
Yeah, because you're copying John.
Well, no, I think I know.
Yeah,
what
I want
it
to be
is.
Just like him.
You should.
I look up to him, you know.
You should.
Well, he's now kind of your boss.
Yeah, kind of. He's kind of is.
You guys ever remember the movie Single White Female?
I don't know, but I like the way you took the mic right away from
him. I love
him.
It. That I like that.
Yes, I do remember
that. Yeah, that
movie.
Was a great movie with Bridget Fonda. She
Boy.
Was hot then.
Oh, my God.
God, she was hot.
She's hot now.
You. To you, maybe. To you. This is Junior Farewell Week, and I know a lot of you are celebrating.
I think I know why he did that.
What, shaved his head like John?
Well, he shaved it clean to the bone.
Just like John?
Yep. Because he's still got
clean
the rest,
to the bone.
The rest of this week with us, as long as he behaves. And then he's got vacation.
Yeah.
And then he starts school, so he's thinking in a couple of weeks, it'll just be short hair, a little stub.
Yeah, by the time I start school, it'll look a little bit normal.
Well, that's what in the neighborhood that I grew up in, there was the family that before school started, they took their kids one haircut a year.
And school picture.
Balled it right down, and it lasted the year.
School picture, everybody's got flat tops. By the end of the year, they're hippies.
Yeah, one haircut a year, right before school. Oh, by the way, we were talking about that. Did you ever go to your orientation to see what it's really going to be like and what you have to dress like? And
yeah, I did.
What number?
Yeah,
short,
I went last Friday. I went last Friday, yeah.
What bus are you on?
What short bus? Yeah. Dude, you're a dick.
Whatever. What are you going to have to wear?
Yeah, what are you going to have to wear?
It's just like a collared shirt. Yeah, I could wear like jeans with it or, you know. Like
so
some,
you don't have to wear
like
a tie?
Like Dickies or something. No, I don't have to wear a tie.
Or like some sort of Boy Scout scarf?
No, dude. It's just a
kerchief.
It's just a collared shirt. That's
an ascot.
It.
Yeah. Does it have to be a certain color?
It's blue. They're all blue.
Yeah, it has
so,
to be.
Yeah.
School colors. Pride.
So as long as you're wearing a blue, I'm assuming, is it long sleeved?
No, it's short sleeved. Dry fit.
A tank top.
Nice and breathable. Yeah.
So as long as you're wearing that blue shirt, you can wear whatever pant you want?
Well,
that would be a trouser.
You know, yeah, I can wear jeans, you know, like a pair of Dickies or something.
A trouser.
A trouser.
So either,
a trouser, yeah.
So what you're saying is blue jeans or khaki, nothing else.
Yeah. I can't wear my clamming shorts.
Do you, yeah. You have to learn some sort of secret handshake so that you know that you're dealing with a fellow student? Or?
That's top secret. I can't, okay. Yeah. There's a lot of secrets at six-figure community college.
He'll know he's dealing with fellow students when they jam him in a locker.
Hey, nerd!
You do remember what that was like, don't you?
Oh, no, I don't. They would try it once, and then I would alert the proper authority figures.
Yeah. That's and what
that
happened
would be,
before.
That would be knocked out immediately.
Oh, God.
I cannot imagine, even at his age, going back into a classroom.
Oh, I can't picture it. That's why they have continuing education where you could learn online.
No, I'm not going to do that. This is more hands-on. And then plus, I don't have to be here, so that's great.
By the way, is what he's typing, are we going to announce that, or has it already been announced?
No, I think it's been announced. We're going to be giving it away.
Yep.
We're going to be giving those away.
Just a couple of weeks ago, I found out that our Uncle Ted Nugent had just come out with a new record.
Yeah, he's coming to town.
And it was awesome. I started playing it. Stan was a little skeptical at first.
And then I fell in love with it.
And then you said, that's what I've been missing. That's the rock and roll I need in my life. He's coming to town.
I'll give you the details on it. We've got tickets this week to give away to go see Ted Nugent.
Now, that's always fun.
A bunch of other stuff we're giving away.
We haven't talked to him in a long time either.
Yeah, maybe we can see about getting on. He might be with, well, I got to talk to you off the air. Where he's going has always been difficult, but maybe we can go the
back way.
Yeah, but
we have a pre-existing friendship.
He doesn't remember that.
Of
he doesn't
course
remember
he will.
That.
He'll as soon as you get him on the phone, he'll tell you, of course I do. I remember you. You're in Florida.
Yep. In the Florida area.
Yep.
Stan and Haney.
We're best friends.
96.
Don't forget that.
K-Rock.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
We should be in a position where the experts say we know is in fact it's going to be.
Stan and Haney, 96 K Rock.
Stan and Haney, Monday edition. Hope everybody had a nice weekend. We're going to have the audio grab bag here for you in just a second. We'll open up the phones. The prizes we have this week, absolutely spectacular. You heard Haney allude to it just a little while ago about Ted Nugent tickets.
He's coming to town.
He's going to be at the Barbara B. Mann. Let me just give you a quick look. I'll go over more detail next break. But we got Ted Nugent. We've got Busch Gardens, Adventure Island. We've got... You know what? This is a specialty. Have I just been handed something else? What am I being handed?
No, he's just a little behind.
Updated? What is it? Then give me this. What else have I got? What was added and what was taken off?
Quantity.
Yeah.
Volume.
I don't know what he's saying.
Means they thought they had more of something than they did, and they adjusted the amount downward.
I see. Now I see it. All right, I'm cool with that.
So the count is still the same. It's the amount.
Right, the count and amount is different.
By the way, do you know what the count and the amount is?
You should.
Yep.
This is one of the prizes we're giving away this week, and I'm not opposed to it. It's for somebody that would really want this. I'm looking at this because I told you, we got Shuckers, we got Busch Gardens, we've got Ted Nugent, we have Twisted Fork. This one. Firearms Training by John Johnson.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's something that you get training certificates. They're located in Cape Coral, the only firearm training only the firearm training can be promoted on the air. Well, that's what we're promoting. Firearms training.
Last I checked, that's exactly what you said.
That's what I said.
And why do you put things like that on something somebody's reading?
That I just realized that. I don't, John.
Because you put
I don't need that information.
Because you put that in front of somebody who's doing a live read.
That baits me into what are they leaving off? Because just promote the firearms, which is what I did.
Yeah, and well, what I would say.
Thank you. What else don't I know about? Well, we'll find out. But that's next break, and then we're going to play a game today. We haven't done this in a while. It is so easy. It's basically just to hear it, isolated guitar. You identify the band and the song. You're going to win a prize, but it's so,
always fun.
It's so easy, and it's just cool to listen to. And then later on today, we're going to go into the Wayback Machine, take a look at what was on the Billboard pop charts. I'll tell you, today we're going way back, way back.
Way back in such a way that it would make today's radio programmer lose his mind.
Correct. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North.
Those that oversee us, because they keep track of everything we play.
I know.
And every day, did you see this? Yeah, that's Stan and Haney down in Fort Myers. Yeah. They're in their own world. No, I won't sign off on this.
Because that's going to show up.
Yep.
US 41, and North Naples.
And they played them all in order.
Yeah, back to back.
In this order.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Makes no sense.
The human brain isn't built for that.
Hit it. Thank you. All hail the Colorado Avalanche. They last night.
Too many men on the ice.
At Amalie Arena in
Tampa. Don't they call that in the National Hockey League? Too many men on the ice.
Just won their first Stanley Cup since 2001. You got to hand it to the Lightning, though. 3 years in a row in the finals, but here's how it ended.
A gritty team.
You darn right. Here's how it ended.
5 seconds to go. Up it comes to the line. Colorado has won the Stanley Cup.
As far as I'm concerned, I think they were the Quebec Nordiques.
Yeah. And too many men on the ice there in Colorado. During the winning goal.
Here's a thing for you.
Go to my grave believing that.
I know you will.
But, of course, I'll
will
forget.
Will you please?
I'll forget by next week.
ABC covered the game. And somebody thought it would be a good idea to put microphones in the tunnel of the losing team.
Do these people have a rudimentary familiarity with the game of hockey?
I have the beeped version, obviously.
Why would you even do that?
But they ran it live. It was live and went out over the air. Hey, let's go on the American Broadcasting Corporation and put a live microphone in the tunnel of the losing team. Not good. You got what you expected.
When it just happened.
Yes.
Crowd now saluting the Lightning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was no beeps when it aired live. You be the judge. Everybody likes to do the mashups, but this is a topical one. Both the Elvis movie and Top Gun Maverick finished number one in the box office this past week.
What, a tie?
Each of them making $30 million. So somebody, you be the judge. Let's do an Elvis Maverick mashup. You be the judge.
Yeah, okay.
You're not gonna expect magic. Let's see what else is going on, shall we?
This is not headline news. 91-year-old Rupert Murdoch is divorcing Jerry Hall. She said it came as a complete surprise. Not the divorce, that he just kept living. Denise Richards joined OnlyFans. It's generating tons of interest amongst time travelers from 1998. Netflix unveiled an ad-supported service. It'll also go by a different name. Television. A bloodhound won this year's Westminster Dog Show. He's celebrated with a crotch lick and toilet bowl chaser. And Khloe Kardashian turns 38 today. Well, about 85% of her does. This is not headline news.
It's called television.
This is the first time Junior or John, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this guy. Maybe you do. Are either one of you familiar with the musician / comedian Kevin Carter? Any of you guys? No, neither one of you? This guy is good. And I'm going to tell you why. He has a podcast. And what he does is puts music to weird videos that he sees. So there's going to be a split screen.
He does the soundtrack?
Yes. He will find an odd video, play it on one side of the screen, watching it. And then on his keyboard, he'll join in with the weird video.
With how he feels musically,
yes,
about what he's...
Yes, and know. it's very good. I'm going to give you two examples. Show you what I'm meaning. So here's Kevin Hart, Carter. First video he brings up is a little girl... There's a little girl singing in her own voice, no music around her until he adds it. Can you please stop bugging me? She's just, can you please stop bugging me? And he's watching this video and says, all right, let me get a feel for it and I'll add some stuff.
I always thought I wrote that song.
You may want to try for copyright infringement. Take a listen. This is, he's good.
Can you please stop bugging me?
Boy, that guy's got some flavor to
him. He does. Here's another one. This one's good. He found a video of a rooster crowing. But the rooster, and there, I grew up around chickens and roosters and all. They have their own personalities. This rooster is not a regular cock-a-doodle-do. He's holding his last note, the rooster is.
Like sustaining it?
Yes, to the point where the rooster faints. He's crowing so long. And so there's the video, and the rooster's holding that last crow to the point where he just falls over for lack of oxygen. So he puts that video up.
Some gay ball.
Yep. He puts that video up on split screen with him. And this is created. This is good.
Deep breath. Come on, sustain it. Sustain it.
Rooster falls over. It's great.
Well, that's the story of the music business in a nutshell.
Yes. This is you don't want to come home to this. You do not, and I'll repeat, you do not want to come home to this. Dateline, Idaho. Almost a month ago, a family came home to find that a contractor was removing the roof of their house. Why? The contractor had the wrong house. Made a mistake. The roof was supposed to come off some other house, not their house. Hello. Welcome home.
My daughter came home from school to find that people were removing the roof of our house. It was a mistake. It should have been fixed, but no one will do it.
Nobody's fixing it.
Not my problem.
Not my problem. I was told to remove it.
Oh. Got your address right here. Not my error.
Yeah, that was the homeowner talking about it. It turned into an absolute nightmare. Because nobody has remedied the problem yet. And so, Paul McCartney keeps playing the song. He finished his U.S. tour. He heads over to Great Britain, headlining
Glastonbury.
At the Glastonbury Festival.
That was so weird. Because when you if you read that and just glanced by the headlines, Paul McCartney, Diana Ross, headline Glastonbury. What?
Here he is on stage, Paul McCartney, 3-hour show at Glastonbury. Here he is on stage with Dave Grohl and Springsteen doing one of the Wings classics. He's 80. He's doing that. I'm 20 years younger than he is, and I don't know, see myself doing anything like that at 80. You know, and that's scary, too. Brian Wilson just turned 80. Paul McCartney's 80.
Elton John's got to be up there.
He's got to be up there.
They did an interview with him and Davy Johnstone.
Yeah, Davy's been with him forever.
I think Davy is like 75, Elton's 79, and talking about just that they're doing some current shows. They're going to do a tour next year, and then that's it. And both of them were just brutally honest and said, look, I'm 75. He's 79. We have played probably 4,000 or 5,000 shows. and we just can't do it anymore. Yeah. This is a game for someone in their 20s and 30s.
Which is when they started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. I do not know.
I'll tell you how.
What?
Heaps and heaps of money.
Yes. Yes.
And I love, there are certain people, stars, that don't wear their ego well. Ms. Ross is not one of them.
No.
Because you know that going in. If you didn't realize that, you might be a little taken aback. But that's Diana Ross. That's how she is. She comes out and greets the Glastonbury crowd because evidently she's a little upset that McCartney's playing at night.
And she's not?
No. She's in
part
full sunlight.
Daytime show.
Yep.
Makeup running.
Yep. And, you know, she's wearing ball gowns and stuff, yeah. Which is not ideal for beating down on the sun beating down on you. And she addresses the crowd. Oh, what a lovely crowd. That's why I enjoy so much singing in the daytime where I can see clearly all your lovely faces so much better than at night. Don't you agree? Up. Upside down, the more you turn me.
Phone lines will be open next.
277-9600. That's why I actually prefer performing during the day.
Answer me this, though. And I, it's an honest question. She is a Motown legend. Paul McCartney, a British legend. Both coming to prominence with a group at roughly the same time, and both in their own music, whether it's the Motown sound or the pop rock at that time, and both of them tons of hits with their band and as a solo act, both of them tremendous longevity. Who do you put on at night? It's got to be a flip of the coin. It's got to be a flip of the coin. Who do you put on? They can't be on at the same time. I wouldn't know what to do.
It was multiple days.
And they still put her on at the daytime?
Yes.
Yes. Well, that explains it. Stan and Haney, 96, K-Rock.
Thank you for calling 96 K-Rock. Press 1 for Stan and Haney. Press 2 for Stan and Haney. Press 3 for Stan and... Please hold. Your call is very important to us.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, 277-9600. That's the number into the studio. If you're outside of our immediate area, you're going, well, Stan Haney, I'd love to call you, but what's the area code? That's a 239-er. So it'd
be, that's full service.
Yeah, 239-277-9600. Whatever's on your mind. You want to get something off your chest, comment, thought, maybe pick up a prize. We've got some prizes. Maybe. I'm not guaranteeing you that you get a prize, but you never know. It's Junior's final week. We'd like to think that he would be here for the full 5 days. That is up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
If the company sees that he's really doing nothing, this could be his last day tomorrow.
You shouldn't draw attention to it.
What about him doing nothing?
Yeah.
277-9600. Here's what we have. And again, we have to let these stretch out for a long period of time. So not everybody is going to be able to get a prize, but once in a while a phone call moves us. From last week, we still have Twisted Fork gift certificate. That's up at Burt's Black Widow Harley-Davidson in Port Charlotte. We have Simit Mediterranean down in Naples. We have a couple of tickets left to go see Buck Cherry at the Ranch. Mighty Muscle tickets, the Tuesday games. We have iTunes cards. This week we've added, Ted Nugent, the Detroit Muscle Tour.
Oh, hell yeah.
Coming to the Barbara B. Mann on July 17th. What else we got? Oh, Busch Gardens, Adventure Island. Am I reading this correctly? Complimentary beer and nightly fireworks, rides, shows, animals, and more. Mari is going to be at Shuckers for a K-Rock happy hour this Friday. Got a gift card to Shuckers if you'd like.
Wonder how her visit went. We'll have to find out.
Yes. And then we have this, and sounds cool to me. Firearms training by John Johnson. You actually will go and get a training certificate. It's located in Cape Coral. 277-9600. We just like talking to you guys. Once in a while, a phone call amuses us, tickles us. What's on your mind? 277-9600. What do you got for us, Haney?
Well, Junior requested a song that I hate.
We had to play this.
And it's not the song itself. It's what people did with it.
What's this, Spin Doctors?
Yeah.
Let's see what's on people's minds. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Keith from Fort Myers.
Hey, Keith, what's going on?
Well, you know, I love you guys, love listening to the show, but I have a little bit of heartburn over what I heard you mention earlier, Stan.
What did I mention earlier?
What could you have done?
What have I done? I've only been on the air for a little more than an hour today. What did I do? What did I say?
Okay, so first, it's just a little bit of heartburn. I'm not, like, terribly upset. But you were talking about Paul McCartney and Diana Ross playing over in England.
Yeah.
And you made you were talking about the fact that Diana Ross was playing during the day.
No, Haney made that point.
Okay, well, then I stand corrected. But you made a comparison. You said, you know, it's really a coin flip because they're both legendary artists.
They are.
Well, they are, and I agree with you. However, you're not really comparing apples to apples.
You're boring me. Jeez. 277.
No, the point of it was that it was amusing to watch Diana Ross openly say how she wasn't bothered by it when she clearly was.
And she was.
Yes.
Because she's a nighttime artist.
She is. There was no one at that festival bigger than
Diana Ross.
And she'll let you know that.
That was the whole point. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Stan, this is Glenn. Ahoy.
Hey, Glenn.
Now, I don't know if the caller thought that we were agreeing with her, which
we
weren't.
There's some sarcasm. Sorry, Glenn, what's up?
Hey, I just want to thank you guys. I mean, you guys are great. And Haney, your guitar is being built as we speak.
Awesome.
So, I just wanted to thank you guys for everything you're doing. And I had a great day today.
You are such a good man. And I wanted to let you know the brilliance of the color on that guitar is unbelievable. You must have spent hours and hours and hours on that.
Yeah, well, not hours, but like weeks. But anyways.
Well, the hours go into weeks, but what a beauty.
Well, you haven't seen nothing yet.
Oh, we've seen the progress, though, Glenn. We've seen the progress. Looking good. Looking good. And I saw the text on your good news. That's good to hear. And we're glad that today, because you've had a lot of ups and downs.
And I'll say it again.
I'm glad you're having a good
day. You're a good man.
What can we get you? Glenn and I want to get you something. What can we get you?
Do you have any Nugent tickets, man?
Yes, you can go. Absolutely.
Oh, great.
Hold
Thank
on.
Thank you, guys.
You
I
betcha,
love you.
Buddy. Hold on.
He's Very good, loyal
he's good
listener
people.
Of
yes,
ours.
Sir. 277, line 2. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, Stan, how are you?
Doing well. Your phone is horrible.
Yes, I agree. I'm sorry about that. I have an old flip phone. No, I just wanted to chew you guys' ear on something. I just got a new job, feeling pretty great today.
Good for you.
Yeah, I just got a job at Outback Steakhouse, been listening for a few years.
Sweet.
And been listening for the last couple days, and curious on how juniors look on all going to school and all that is going.
Well, he had his orientation last week.
Right, and they told him what kind of uniform to wear, what the number
yeah,
to his short,
that, yeah.
his short bus number and all that.
First of all, I'm not taking a short bus. I'm taking a regular bus.
I personally never went to regular schools. I was always homeschooled. And
do you regret it? School, do you regret it? Was there a part of you when you were a kid growing up you wish you could have gone to school with the rest of the gang?
Me personally, no. That never really interested me. Big partying was never really part of me, but I always had my small group of friends, and I loved it.
Well, Junior likes going to school and being in a classroom because it's, as he puts it, hands-on.
Well, yeah, that's the best way I learned, Dick.
Appreciate it. Best way you learn. We've tried giving you hands-on for three years, and you haven't learned anything.
You hung up? I was going to ask him if his teacher was hot.
He was homeschooled. You're asking him about his mom. You know what?
It's a yes or no question.
Short bus. You know darn well having to wear a uniform and a trouser.
Well, he really likes authority figures unless they're dicks.
Right. And
what happens if your instructor?
You'll meet a few.
What if your instructor is a dick?
Wait, what was that?
What happens if your instructor is a dick?
Oh, if my instructor's a dick, I'll let him know.
Yeah.
They're like, yo, bro, you're being a straight up dick right now.
Yeah, and they'll kick you out. But that's anyway. I don't know if that's going to be the reason or no show or whatever.
They tend to have a lot of power within that classroom.
Yeah. Is there a reason why that line is open? Is there a problem with line two? Did anybody hang up on line two? Or oh, he's talking to him? Okay, gotcha. What the? Ahoy.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Great.
I ain't got time. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Phil.
Who, Phil?
Yeah.
Hey, Phil.
Is this Stan and Haney?
Yes.
What
can I do for you, Phil? Is everything okay, buddy?
Yeah.
Well, then what's up?
I was calling in to talk to Stan and Haney.
You were talking to us.
Well, you've successfully executed that plan.
Well, mission accomplished.
Sorry, your voice sounded different, Stan. Sorry about that.
I know.
Last week, I believe it was, you guys were talking about, you know, driving on the wrong side of the road and wanted to know if the brake and gas pedals were switched up, too. I don't know if anybody had called you about that.
They said it's normal.
Yes, it is, because I did it like 10, 12 years ago.
And how did it screw you up? Was it intimidating to go on the road and do all that?
Oh, hey, I had three strikes when I was out. First one was pulling into the Waterford factory. It's a L, and instead of pulling to the far left to go in, I pulled to the far right like I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
And cars start coming up and honking at me, and I was like, sorry, stupid American tourist, sorry. And they all started laughing and waving, and no problem.
No,
second
but
one was,
you have to be driving around, and you have to constantly tell yourself everything you know is wrong. Everything you want to do, you shouldn't do.
Exactly. So, like, if the pedals had been different, too, shit, I would have never tried it out.
I can't have you cussing. Appreciate it, and I appreciate the call. You streamers got to hear the word, but we got to move on.
Yeah, I still think about that, and that's just got to be. I mean, after years, maybe you get over it, but just constantly telling yourself whatever your body wants to do, don't trust
it. Yeah, because it's hardwired. Ahoy, who's this?
Hello, this is Rod.
Rod?
Yes,
sir.
What's going on?
Not much. I was just calling. It's my first time caller. I was just kind of curious about, I'm from Alaska. I was kind of curious where you guys, if you guys have state fairs or anything like that down here.
You're from Alaska? How long you been down here?
About 10 years now.
And you don't know about a state fair?
Nope.
Yes, they do.
And we have county fairs,
and
too.
And county fairs, too, are big.
A lot of seafood festivals and whatnot.
Yep, seafood festivals, county fairs, you know, a lot of 4-H stuff with the cattle and hogs.
But generally, generally only happens in the spring.
277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Patty. How are you guys?
Very well, Patty. My name is Stan. There's my friend Haney.
Oh, I know you boys very well. I wanted to call to personally thank you. Last week you guys said happy birthday, ninth birthday to my daughter, Natalie.
Oh, sure. We remember. Absolutely.
Happy to do it.
Yeah, and she was so excited. And I know I've texted a lot, picking on Junior and stuff like that. So I just wanted to personally say thank you so much.
Yes. You want to thank Junior or you want to thank us?
Oh, no, I want to thank you guys.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Patty. Yeah, great.
Oh, hey, Junior, listen, if I had a rezzo for you, you know?
That's a rezzo?
Yeah, you were saying it's not a rezzo at a reservation. It's a rezzo.
You remember, Patty.
It's not a rezzo. I
remember. Patty. I'm so proud.
Patty, and
I also, real quick, wanted to tell you that when I used to live in Connecticut and work at Foxwoods, Diana Ross was playing. And they traveled her down underneath. We had a little, like, employee dining room. And they traveled her down there. And she made all the employees face the wall so nobody could look
at
her.
Hold on. You're kidding. Really?
I am not. Yes. 100%. It was absolutely insane. Ever since then, I was like, nope, I won't listen to her anymore. I couldn't believe it.
But she's known for that.
A diva.
Yeah, it's insane.
Now, while I got you on here, just a couple of more seconds. So you worked at Foxwoods. You had the Diana Ross thing. Any other celebrity that surprised you by either their kindness or being a jerk?
Stone Cold Steve Austin was so nice, and he won a little bit of money, so he tipped us pretty big.
That was really cool. That is class all the way. Can we get you something?
Sure, I work in Naples, so if you want to get some dining, I can take my daughter out for her birthday.
I got it taken care of here. Let me see, because I know we got some Naples stuff. I have a Simit Mediterranean. I think that one's down in, it is, it's down in Collier County. Let me see, hold on. Let me ask you this, do you want to take her to Busch Gardens?
Yeah, I could do that.
All right. My God,
that would be so awesome.
Let's you and your daughter go to Busch Gardens, okay?
Oh my God, thank you.
Busch Gardens and Island of Adventure.
And you know what? You should thank Diana Ross. It's because she made you avert your eyes that we decided to give you that prize.
Yep. So hold on the line. I'll send you over to John, and we'll get you set up with Busch Gardens.
You guys are amazing. Hot damn. Thanks, boys.
Hold on.
That's a different level of ego.
Stare at the wall.
We're going to require all of your employees here.
She doesn't have her makeup on, her show makeup.
Stare at the
wall. I know.
So you will all face the wall.
Unbelievable.
Like an elementary school child being punished.
Yep, which will happen with Junior at his new school.
You're all in timeout until Ms. Ross reaches the elevator.
Yep, you're all in timeout until Junior apologizes to the class. We're going to take a break when we come back.
Oh, that's true. That deal where, you know, somebody's a wisecracker or a joker and gets the whole class in trouble.
Yep. Everybody's going to pay the price, just like he did at Space Camp.
Is this one of those schools where they make you do push-ups?
I don't know. If they try, bro, they're going to get popped in the mouth.
I see such a bright future.
Yeah, bright future.
Yeah, six figures, dog. F with me.
We're going to play isolated guitar. Your job, just name the song and the band.
Stan?
What?
In mere days.
Yeah.
He is no longer your responsibility.
It's such a relief.
Yeah, and you're going to cry.
I'm not.
You're going to be up all night.
No longer.
I miss Junior.
No longer will anyone have any legitimate reason to ask you what his deal is, nope. What he's about. Did he really do that?
Yep.
You don't have to say anything anymore.
Yep, but you're going to say
you're
all night.
For yourself.
I miss that little bitch.
Nobody calls you that.
You guys do.
No, and don't, and I'm not going to miss you. Stan and Haney.
You can't make him miss you.
Yeah, you can't make me miss you.
Oh, I don't have to make you. I see it in your eyes, big boy.
What?
Big boy, that is so creepy.
It sure is, especially with a freshly shaved head.
Yeah.
All right, doll.
Because he's copying John, our producer.
All right, sweetheart.
Which is so disturbing.
It is. It's almost like when we had that producer that tried to copy you. Remember him?
That didn't work out
so
well.
No, he got thrown through a wall. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Did you know that when Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, he proposed answering it with ahoy? Ahoy. I like it.
Just about any nice day, you'll find people in almost any park enjoying
Stan and Haney.
They're fun. Sold separately from Wham-O.
96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney. Yeah, I want to, you know, if we got time for the game, fine. But with Junior's last week and him copying our new producer, John, and his shaved head style.
Which is really odd.
Really odd. Haney, I just want to talk here for a second and reminisce. Haney and I have been through, and you could imagine, in 30 years of being at this radio station, we have been through our share of producers, all with unique personalities and all with the ability to do something good. Most of them.
Vastly different skill sets,
yes.
In different areas.
As far as producer emeritus goes, of course, Tommy was the best producer we ever had.
Ideal.
Jokey was a legend among legends.
Mm-hmm.
He had a skill set that I have not seen in any. I don't know if it's a skill set that would prompt him to the business world or even being able to work today. He was, in his own way, a genius. And he was our producer for a while.
I'll tell you why he was a genius.
He was. In his own way, he was a genius.
It all goes to his motivation. What he wanted more than anything was to make this show successful by any means necessary,
yep.
Until we didn't need him anymore.
And then
he wanted to ride off in the sunset.
But his approach was unlike anybody that I've ever, ever dealt with. It was counterintuitive. It was against every rule ever written. The way he operated, and he was successful. However,
and you did not understand him until very late.
Very late in the game. You know, and for these two producers sitting here, I mean, again, this was pre-computer. It was just starting. But I would tell him, hey, get us so-and-so on the air because we want to interview him. He wouldn't go and call the publicist, or he wouldn't email. He wouldn't go and put a formal request in. What he would do is he would call wherever he was calling, and it would be the receptionist or the secretary or the office assistant, and he'd engage them. How's the family? Oh, our family's going through the same thing. Oh, I just got through building a swing set, and before,
and you would hear this.
And I'd walk by the office, and his feet would be kicked up on the desk. He'd be, you know, cradling the phone in his ear. And I'm like, What the hell are you doing? And I'd look to Haney, I'm going,
scream at him.
He's losing his mind. And then I'd go down the hallway, and sure enough, they'd be coming on because he won over the middle person who could make it all happen.
The gatekeeper. He knew how to take down the gatekeeper.
But you brought up, and I think this is why Junior copying John is so disturbing to me.
It's a bad road.
It is a bad road to go down, especially when you're on on your way out. And what it tells me is Junior, as I've known for always, he's attention seeking. Now, we had a producer. He likes the spotlight. He likes, people. But we had a producer, and he brought him. And I'll say his first name. I'm telling you, we've had some winners. We've had producers that have gone through sex changes.
Oh, God.
We've had producers who have gone on to tremendous heights. Very well, we had one that practically ran Disney. But we had one guy, and he called us up one day. His name was Eric. That's all I'll say. I know his last name. And Haney and I were just talking about, is he even alive? We don't know. I do know he's got a tattoo on his arm, if he's still alive, of a devil. But he called us up one day. This is when we were doing mornings. And he said, I just moved to the area. I live in a back room at a bowling alley. No joke. He lived in a bowling alley.
And he was all about sports and was convinced he was going to be on ESPN.
ESPN was his goal. He wanted to be on SportsCenter, TV SportsCenter. And he wanted to come on the show to do sports. All right, come on down. He was god-awful.
He didn't know it.
And he didn't know it. I mean, he couldn't gather any information, couldn't do any. But he was always coming to the radio station. He got to learn the system a little bit. And producer's job opened up because I think Funsies might have left.
Oh, yeah.
Who would go and book stuff for funsies.
He was assigned to us. He was a management spy.
Yes.
Funsies was.
Yeah. Why do we have party favors here? Oh, just for funsies. What?
I never knew what he was up to.
Never knew, but that's besides...
Seemed like a nice man, but...
He did his own comic strip. It was called The Cat's Meow. So at any rate,
see, I really never had anything against that guy personally.
I didn't have anything against him.
Other than the fact that all concerned knew that he was a plant
for
management.
And the thing was he didn't understand what we did. So at any rate, so this Eric guy who came in to do sports because he believed he was SportsCenter material. We said, well, we got an opening for a producer. Can you go and book guests, organize the show, get an itinerary.
Can you get up at 4 in the morning?
Can you get up at 4 in the morning, which a lot of times he couldn't? We'd like to have you as a producer. Oh, really? So,
see, there's something you can do.
He, for some reason, and I don't know the exact reason, he was intimidated by Haney. And I'm not talking about being intimidated by, oh, maybe I can learn something from him. Oh, maybe I can garner some of Haney's wisdom of years in the radio. Because by this point in time, we had already had a lot of years in the radio business. He did not like that Haney... How would you describe it? He didn't like the fact that, well, you had your own show and he didn't. He wasn't on SportsCenter. And he can do it just as good.
And I was the boss of him.
And you were the boss of him. So, this is why Junior says, I'm going to miss you. No, I'm not. this guy came in and had a few square-offs with Haney. I mean, personality square-offs.
Which, you know what? I'll leave it to you to judge, but I never understood that.
Me neither.
And it threw me for a loop when he started up with this stuff.
So, at the time, Haney shaved his head. I mean, he had a good-looking... See, mine, I got a head shaped like a gourd, so I can't. But Haney has a good-shaped head, and he would shave it and get it all nice and shiny. And
yeah.
It really had a gloss. I think that started when we actually had a barber come in and straight razor Haney's head.
Yeah, the one with the shaky hand.
Yeah, he had a trembling
hand.
Who was
a magician with a straight razor, believe it or not? Once you could block it out of your mind that his hand was visibly shaking and let him work, perfect.
So Haney had a shaved head at the time. And this Eric cat was intimidated, personality
conflict.
Did I
do something to
Nothing.
Him?
You were his boss. You know, some that can't handle it. So what happens... You can't make this up. He comes in with his head shaved, and he walks in, not wearing a hat, not just, and he had moles and growths in his head
that he had sliced off.
That he, as he's shaving his head, he nicked them, and they're bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
You two guys know what happens when you get a little nick. So, he comes in and starts bowing up to Haney. And, of course, naturally, oh, you're copying Haney.
I ain't copying anybody. I'm my own man.
He gets into Haney's face, and Haney is like, lay off. Back off. Do your job and leave me the F alone. I don't know what your problem is with me. Back off. So, we're going into a break. Hey, we'll be back, 96K Rock. And Haney goes out into the hallway where evidently this Eric producer with the shaved head now and the bleeding moles from nicking himself squares off with Haney in the hallway. And so I'm sitting in the studio and I hear the two of them arguing. And then I hear roughhousing. Now keep in mind, you're in a place of business. And there's roughhousing going on. And I see the wall to the hallway. There's a solid wall here. Not that solid. But there's the hallway dividing the studio. I saw the wall bow as a body went up against the wall. Haney came back in, sat down. See, you know, and I know why he was out in the hallway. Back in those days, we could smoke in the hallway. Memories. But I saw Haney came back in and sat down, and sure enough, the producer, I don't know if he was bringing traffic or some kind of update, he was coming in and he was wiping tears from his eyes like he'd been crying. And I'm like, what the hell went on? And Haney said, he bowed up at me, he ran at me, and I threw him off me and threw him into the wall. And he evidently got all emotional and started crying. All right, well, let's, you know what, hopefully that'll pass. Hopefully that will pass. The next Monday, he comes into work, head still shaved, and he's got a book under his arm. He's carrying a book. Now, yeah, backpack and all, but he's carrying a book so that we can see it in the studio. And it was a book on martial arts and how you can go and overpower anybody. And he'd be in the corner of the room reading the book, talking and thinking about how he can go. And next time he charges at Haney, he will know the proper moves. And I remember saying, what is the deal with him and Haney? He copied Haney so much. And this is the last story about him that I'm going to say. Haney had bought a new car. Haney had bought a new car. He had a young family. And he
For me, it was a good buy.
It was a
sensible buy.
An essential buy.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to impress anybody.
No, you had to get a car. You had a new baby. You had a wife. So Haney bought a new car.
And it wasn't a flashy car.
It was not a flashy car. Within 4 or 5 days, who comes in with a new car? Mr. Martial Arts Baldy coming in. Brand new car.
And what? The brand new car was my exact car.
Upgraded.
But a step up. The next trim
all
package.
All the features and trim packages and all the extras.
All the stuff that I looked at and said, you know, I can't afford that nonsense.
And so I'm looking, I'm going, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing? You want Haney
Yeah, that's when it hit a different level when he got
Haney
the car.
You want Haney to put you through a wall again? What do you want? What are you doing? And so...
He did.
I know. And he squared off with it and he lost again.
And what happened the second time is he was... He'd prepared his defense to make sure that I didn't throw him through the wall. And... I didn't have it in me to just knock him out. Because, you know, half of me is like, I'm at work. What is this guy doing? Part of me really wanted to. So my compromise, I just face waxed him continually. And I said, why are you making me do this?
And he wouldn't give up.
Are you ready for me to stop? No.
And he was crying again, like a big baby.
And I'm trying to talk sense to him.
But he won't hear that. It was some kind of, I have to go and dominate you. So, flash forward, maybe a month.
Maybe.
Well, it had to have been at least a month. We're out in the parking lot having a smoke. And he's standing there. Downstanding Haney Boulevard. There comes a wrecker. And we're like, well, did somebody's car break down out here? And he's standing there. I knew it. Oh, I knew it. I didn't know what it was. I knew it. What? You knew what? The car he got with all the upgrades and stuff was just to show up Haney. He was getting it repossessed.
He couldn't make the first payment.
He couldn't make the first payment on the car. And so they're hooking up his car. And the guy that was driving the wrecker was nice enough. He said, look, if you got to get some paperwork or anything out of the car before I take it, I'm hooking it up. I'll give you 5 minutes to get the stuff out of the car.
Yeah, he actually wasn't a dick about it.
No. And so he got his paperwork.
Had every opportunity.
The car gets hooked up and it's going out Stanton Haney Boulevard, where Eric, the producer, goes and realizes, he goes, oh, crap. My bowling balls, because he lived in the back of the bowling alley, my bowling balls are in the trunk. He's running down Stanton Haney Boulevard trying to catch the car as it's being pulled out onto 41 with the wrecker. Never got it. Turned around and goes, well, there goes my bowling balls. And he would come into the studio with his bowling trophies and pictures to show Haney that he's a champion bowler.
And, you know,
and it was just,
after all that, we still gave him chance after chance after chance.
The last straw where we had to let him go.
I was livid.
Was Haney had to go into the office to get something out of the office.
Because he wasn't doing his job.
And went down into the lower desk drawer and found a half-drank bottle of vodka.
Yeah, that was the end.
That was the end. I
can't abide that.
To show what a tough guy he was, Haney and I, we were doing a remote at a tattoo shop. He thought he would go and get a devil tattooed on his arm. And we're telling, you know, that's going to last your entire life. I don't care. And he had a devil. I'm not going to miss you. We'll be back.
I can only imagine that after those stories marinate for a few years.
Stan and Haney, yo.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
A toy battery-driven bunny just can't stop beating a little bass drum. And we just can't stop beating a long dead horse. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Monday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. Thank you for taking us along with you. Wrapping up your Monday afternoon. We're going to get you updated on traffic, news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails half hour away from a trip into the Wayback Machine as we will take a look at what was on the Billboard pop charts for this very week in a particular year. Today we're going to look at the bottom of American Top 40, songs that just made it in. Either they were on the way down, on the way up, or kind of lingered there and disappeared forever.
Thanks for the memories, Stan. That was more bizarre than I even remembered. I think I blocked some of that out.
Yeah. There are some songs on this one that I don't remember.
Oh, I wasn't talking about
what
the song.
What were you blocking out? Oh, about our producer?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was more bizarre than the details you brought up.
Mm. That's just one. We've had real gems. We've had some real gems over the years. Some I won't even speak of, friends of juniors, will just basically tell you that they tried to sabotage the show.
So you see, John, there's a long and varied tradition here. And,
yeah. Just ask yourself, John, what category am I going to fall in? Am I going to fall into the D-Train, the Tommy, the Jokey category, or am I going to go into the Eric or Junior category, one or the other?
I actually think that you guys are going to consider me one of the best producers you have.
I have that feeling.
Not to pat myself on the back.
I want to believe that, and I do.
Well, and... you know, like I said with Jokey, what made him turn out to be such a great producer, and he is directly responsible for the success of the show because he was here early
at the beginning.
And it was that he truly wanted to see the show do well. Whereas with Junior, it's been a little bit more about him.
Yeah, hey, look at me. I want to be the star. I want to be recognized in public. All of that stuff that is really a turnoff.
Well, yeah, it's about me.
Yeah, because he likes being at the point where somebody may accost him in the grocery store and he can complain about being famous.
Well, yeah, and then I could play victim.
Yeah.
Look what happens to me because of you guys.
But, you know, I am a little bit concerned about you, Stan.
What?
I'm worried you might, be feeling a little empty nest syndrome, not having a little one running around anymore.
That's right.
You know what?
Your ovaries are shouting.
Yeah. Trust me, I'm ready.
You're milking at the teeth, if you will.
Let the bird fly and crash. I can't help them anymore.
Oh, you're going to miss me, you son of a bitch.
Now, traffic.
We've looked after you for a while now. And
time to spread those wings and fall. Firehouse Subs, brought to you by 3.
And you'll make sure that he doesn't do well by telling anybody that might help him. No, the mother might come back.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the cats. They don't go after those.
3 Lee County locations. Fort Myers. Cape Coral.
No. Don't pick them up.
Don't touch them. You don't want to get your scent on them. Just one thing on the board to start things off, and it is in Fort Myers. It's a crash. The 20,000 block of Summerlin Road. That's all we have right now. Another traffic update for you in about 20 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, Haney's got today's headlines, and they're brought to you by Rubenstein Law, 1-800-FL-LEGAL. Also open on weekends.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
Bad things happen when you get blackout drunk.
Yes. Yes.
You end up doing things like taking every computer you own and all your backups to the computer store and then forgetting where you left them.
Then you find out there's voice messages from dad on there and pictures that you don't want anybody seeing.
Mm-hmm. My chairman. 10% for the big guy. The internet is melting down today because the internet believes that it has identified a true legend but cannot find this person. We cannot get anywhere near all the details during headlines, but there is an annual county fair called the Virginia-Kentucky District Fair, well-established over a century of history, and they held it earlier this year.
Yeah.
Where a single woman dominated the entire field of all foods. In one baking category, she came in first, second, and third. She won all the prizes, and nobody can find out who this woman is. But she's evidently the single best cook in the world.
Let's find her.
They can't find her. We love fun mug shots.
Love them.
A 60-year-old man in Alabama was arrested Thursday night while wearing a bright purple T-shirt that said, "I'm too good for drugs." We'll tell you how that happened.
Hopefully we'll see the picture.
And finally, when you were a kid, did you know maybe you were him? It wasn't me. But there was always that one kid during a spirited game of hide-and-go-seek that would go the extra mile. Well, we found out what happened to one of these kids when they became an adult. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. You gotta laugh. It's important. That's why we now bring to you the 4 o'clock fluffer. Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Well, we just told you about the man with the T-shirt in Alabama. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
quotes criminals should never have on their T-shirts.
Top quotes criminals should never have on their T-shirts.
Number one Raider fan. Hashtag drunk, but still driving.
We're gonna partay.
World's greatest dad, ... and money launderer. I went to Jeffrey Epstein's island, and all I got was this lousy T-shirt and lots of sex. I'm with stupid, and by stupid, I mean prostitute.
I'm going to say I feel good.
And finally, the top quote criminals should never have on their T-shirt.
Yes.
My other car is stolen.
30 years of blah, yeah. blah, blah, and where has that led us?
30 long years.
Oh, that was the best thing ever! Yeah!
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
You know, I don't get that. Gertrude Ungertman was in the news this weekend.
Was she now?
Yeah. And she's growing up. She's 19 now.
Oh, growing up to be a beautiful...
Well, what's happened is that she grew legs, but the rest of her is the same.
Oh, my God.
How dare you?
No, don't even start. It's the truth, lady.
She looks like she's on stilts.
Yeah.
You have to live with the consequences.
You're going to have to live with the consequences.
And it's my understanding that that Glastonbury Music Festival, where Diana Ross sang during the day...
Yeah.
You know, like 100,000 people there.
Oh, yeah.
And that they brought her up on stage to scold them for several minutes, and they couldn't get enough of it.
Oh, they
you
love it.
You have stolen my dreams.
Listen to her.
Gertrude Ungertman.
Email.
How dare you continue to look away?
This is from Larry in North Fort Myers. Dear Stan and Haney, ahoy. I was listening to your show last week and heard you talking to a caller about alternative greeting cards. I have one I picked up at a card shop in Fort Lauderdale years ago. I thought it was particularly funny. The picture is of an old lady and her face on the card. The greeting is visible when the lucky recipient opens the card. I have been tempted on several occasions to send the card to people I don't like, but could not bear to part with it. Signed, Larry. They got plenty of those greeting cards.
Not that one.
But not that one. He can't bear to part with it.
And he'd know in his heart if he made a copy.
Right.
He'd know it wasn't real.
Yep. That's from Scott. Hey, guys. There sure was a lot of hate in the emails towards Junior on Friday. And I didn't
pick up on that.
And I get it. He is a polarizing figure. But if anyone thinks that he can cut it, if anyone thinks that he can't cut it, they're wrong. There's no way that somebody that had a 5.95 GPA in high school isn't going to excel at the next level.
Yes.
Especially someone with his people skills.
And yes.
He's charmed us all, and I'm not really joking about that. So what if his second tenure has been a little overdone or sloppy? Just like Junior's recipes, it's part of the charm of Junior. I hope you enjoy this week, Junior. Almost all of that hate is love. And you've earned every bit of it. Love you guys and Junior too.
It's
the gift of love.
Thank you very much. That's really nice. Thank you.
You know, sometimes we forget that this is his second time around and that for a full year, all he wanted in the entire world was to take his rightful place on the show. And once he got Rob Show fired, he seemed to lose interest.
Yep.
Yeah, I just wanted to shove it in that stupid Rob Show's face. Stupid little hobbit.
He was a great producer.
You know what? He did the job.
He sure did.
Under difficult circumstances.
Very difficult. This from Dan from Minnesota. Ahoy, guys. Last week it was mentioned that Junior was blowing up a lot of bridges. Reminded me of the song by Mike Curb Congregation, Burning Bridges, the theme song from Kelly's Heroes. It seems fit for him. Signed, Dan from Minnesota. Maybe before the week's out, we'll play the song.
Well, you know, Junior's got a lot of requests himself for tributes to him.
Yeah, tributes to himself.
No, I just want one song.
One last farewell.
One song on my last day, and you'll agree to it.
Let me tell you something. You keep thinking Friday's your last day. That's not guaranteed.
Okay, well, whenever you fire me, just go ahead and play this one song for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, over the weekend, I got to wondering what the cost of flying Air Force One is. A lot.
I don't think you can really know that because a lot of it's classified.
Now, I could not find the exact cost, but it's somewhere between $140,000 to $200,000 per hour.
Well, that's probably just gas.
Yeah. So you do the math. 10-hour flight. Hold on. 10-hour flight, 1.4 million one way. Couldn't Biden have just done a virtual conference with these guys? You realize that they always send a decoy plane up as well. So let's see what kind of fuel does it use. Is it wind or solar? Nope. It runs on fossil fuel. Maybe he should ride his bike or float across the Atlantic. I like the bike idea. But then again, it will probably fall off, smack his head on the ground, and he'd forget who he is. Ah, a dream come true. Let's go, Brandon. Twink, do your job. You guys are the best. Sign the Guardian.
He's done it again!
When we come back...
I wonder, and that decoy plane?
Yeah.
So it has the full effect. You know that they've got to have legitimate pilots that fly the normal Air Force One.
Absolutely.
So in the second Air Force One... Do they have all the housekeepers and bartenders and waitresses?
I don't think so. They have all that. They got the competent pilots.
But wouldn't you know? Because you'd see that the bartender only goes on one plane.
Well, that's when they're at a secure spot on the tarmac.
Now, they could have somebody just play the part of a bartender, and that would be cheaper than a professional bartender. Yeah.
Where you don't have balls unless you're rolling coal.
Where you just put on a uniform like Isaac from the Love Boat and nobody's the wiser.
Nobody's the wiser.
You can't mix a drink to save his life.
Or like Clint Eastwood in Magnum Force. Sir, do you know how to fly this plane? Nope, never had a lesson. And then he takes out the 44.
Love Clint Eastwood.
Yep. Way Back is next. We're Stan and Haney. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. 30 minutes away from Mark Haney and the news. We're going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home. And then we're going to jump into the Wayback Machine with probably five songs that are as different from each other as could possibly be.
But that's how it was done.
And some of these I have not heard. We're going way back. And we're going to look at the bottom five hits of American Top 40 for this very week in a particular year. So that would be 40 through 36. Some pretty interesting ones that...
I'm familiar with two of the five.
Yeah, let me see. I'm familiar with two of the five. Three of them, I have no idea. But, of course, we got our fun facts coming up with John, so he'll clear it up for us.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out what we're actually listening to. But first, let's get you updated for your drive home. Traffic brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Three Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. Let's take a peek down Collier County way. We got a crash. 2200 block of Davis Boulevard. Also dealing with a crash, 5600 block of Radio Road. And then this one, a crash, Vanderbilt Beach Road and Collier Boulevard. And you are up to date. Another traffic update right before Mark Haney and the news. This ought to be an interesting one. It's the Wayback Machine. Let's find out where we're going.
Hello out there. Peabody and Sherman here. The Wayback Machine, my incomparable invention for traveling through time, has been set for the year.
This week in 1971. What was that, 51 years ago?
You heard it. I'll bet you danced to it not so long ago. Now let's
yes.
live it
up. This'll be interesting. With this is Paul Humphrey and his Kool-Aid chemists with Kool-Aid. John, what are we listening to here at number 40 on the chart?
This is Paul Humphrey. He's a drummer. He performed with hundreds of acts. At one time or another, he even replaced Buddy Rich, so I'm assuming he was a good drummer. Back in 1973, he's got a really rare performance with T-Bone Walker.
Nice.
All right, so he's got some cred. Thank you. Now back to the music.
And now back to the music.
Where am I?
What are you doing, man? You're asleep at the wheel.
I'm dropping the ball.
This is wild, man.
Groovy. Can dig it.
Yeah, man. A little song called Kool-Aid was number 40 this week in 1971. Drummer extraordinaire Paul Humphrey and his Kool-Aid chemists. Coming in at number 39 this week in 1971, Chase and Get It On.
It's a happening sound.
Yeah.
I need your loving. I said I want your loving. I need you every minute of the day now. Girl, listen what I say. Get it on in the morning now.
Oh, it's brassy.
I want to when the moon shines bright. I said I want to when the time is right now. I need you all through the night now. Lay our feelings out of sight. Get it on in the morning now. I'm gonna tell you just what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna make love to you.
Yeah.
That's the kind of feeling I just won't quit. I said, come on, girl, now this is it. Get it on in the morning now.
That's the Stan and Haney difference.
What do we know?
Bill Chase, the founding member of the Chase Rock Band. He was a trumpeter, and he annoyed all of his friends. You know why?
Why?
Because he loved to play notes like Kenny G. He liked to play 45-minute notes just like old Bill Chase. And now back to the music.
This was a simpler world, a world without Kenny G.
It sure was. Yeah! So we had specialists here, drummers and trumpet players.
I got to get it on, 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 I got to get it on.
Sounds like something you'd write.
Yes.
Make love to you.
Da, 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 da.
It's the kind of feeling that just won't quit. I said, come on, girl, now this is it. Get it on in the morning now. Oh, that feeling's gonna be you. Oh, that feeling's gonna be me.
I think we're in
it's
heaven right now.
Just you and me in ecstasy.
Big, beautiful, and brassy.
Feel like I'm at the Tropicana Hotel.
Yeah! That's Get It On by Chase. Here's something a little more familiar. Tommy James and Dragging the Line, number 38.
Tommy James from Tommy James and the Shondells.
Yes, sir.
He was known as Thomas Jackson. That was his real name. One of his most popular songs was Crimson and Clover. Turns out Joan Jett redid that song in 1981, and that was one of her most popular songs. And now back to the music.
Really, and I appreciate it. Going in depth.
Pedestrian, really. The first two were very good.
Yeah, we're very good.
If it was me, I would have made something up like...
Like made up.
Tommy James thought that the earth was concave.
No! No!
The Shondells broke up because they were flat earthers.
Now, what we're going to play for you next is...
An old friend of ours.
It's like an 18-minute song. The 45 was part one, coming in at 37.
I have part one.
James Brown.
I was talking to a cat the other night. He said, what everybody's looking for is...
Called escapism.
What everybody's looking for today. They're looking for escapism.
This is when he could put anything out.
Literally.
This is not a song.
So we're trying to get our thing out of the way before Bud get into it. Bud, come here, get on before we...
gun. Do you think it's gonna be a hit, Bud? Your gun.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a hit.
You think it's gonna be a hit? But I know it's a smash. I know it's a smash. Cause you're in the thing, man. You're the same way it's at. You know, it's gotta be a hit. Ain't it good to you?
Yeah. John?
James Brown. Considered the hardest working man in show business.
We knew that.
One of the founders of funk.
We knew that.
Godfather of soul.
We knew that.
As he was passing away, his famous last words.
What?
I'm going away tonight.
What you say, Fred?
And now back to the music.
He got anything on this particular song? And what the hell it was about? Get back to me on that.
It's about escapism.
This thing is, the whole thing goes like 18 minutes, and it's probably just them talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Come over here, brother. Let me tell you something.
You see, from James' perspective, they're recording. I gave you a full 45 minutes.
Yep.
Take out however many songs you need.
Yep.
I don't have to take it on the lamb.
Watch that man.
Huh?
Watch that man.
Watch him. Yeah, all right. You're right. Yeah, yeah. Coming from some funny places. What'd you say, bro?
What's happening, bro?
What's happening?
Trying to get down.
Yeah.
Well, you know, look at him.
Look at here.
That's right. Right on.
Ain't no alcohol. Man, I don't dig it. What you say?
He's lying.
Say, don't be so mean. You know I'm clean now.
He's lying.
That's James Brown. Part one of Escapism, for some reason, was a hit. This.
And followed immediately by this.
Right? The very next song, John Denver.
Almost heaven. West Virginia.
Today's audiences may require a neck brace while listening to songs in this order.
This was billed as John Denver with Fat City.
Well, Fat City went away.
Yeah, I'd like to know what Fat City was.
Take me home to the place. West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home, country road.
I bet it's the background vocals, Fat City.
I bet you, I want to know who Fat City was. Do we have an answer?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows? Is everybody coming up goose eggs on Fat City? What, Junior? You want to talk?
You know what? Just let the music do the talking, pal, all right?
I want to know about Fat City.
Country road, take me home to the place by the law. West Virginia, Mount Mama, take me home, country road.
Yet on Fat City.
Bro, you look like a Fat City.
Why don't you shut the F up?
Boy, you're gonna miss it. Bringing a tear to my eye. John Denver with Fat City featuring Stan and Haney.
Yup.
Country road. Country road. Take me home to the place. Belong. West Virginia, Mount Mama, take me home, country road,
we're new Fat City.
Yeah. The number one song in the land this week in 1971, Carol King, and it's Too Late.
Too Late, Baby.
Yeah.
It's too late, but we really did try to make it.
I want to know who is members of Fat City.
They were bought off.
Yeah, they were silenced.
Yep.
Mark?
A man named John Denver has a hit singing about West Virginia. ABC News' Peter Jennings has more. He's not your typical country star, nor rock star either.
Along with the band Fat City,
his signature page boy haircut and a cowboy hat.
He hated that. Hated it. Mark Haney in the news is next. We're Stan and Haney.
Michael, I know you're upset about the GQ article.
Yes, of course I'm upset about it. I barely enjoyed my daily bath with my adolescent snow leopards.
But getting mad only brings in more publicity.
Well, what do you want me to do when some magazine slanders me? Just ignore it?
Well,
I mean, that is obviously an imposter.
Yeah,
well, his nose even looks real.
Yeah, well, that's my point, Michael. I mean, people know it's not you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it could be me. I mean, after my next surgery, I was going to look just like this person. Now my plans are ruined.
Michael, you know what? You know what? Maybe you should try therapy.
Why? What do you think? I'm weird or something?
You're wearing a tiara and a unitard right now.
That is because I am a visionary. I want this magazine sued. Sue them, lawyer man. Sue them and win their children for
Michael,
me.
They don't award children in a lawsuit.
Then I just want joint custody. I'll keep them on the weekends. Just get me a Saturday night.
Michael.
I'm lonely, lawyer man. Where's Macaulay?
Michael.
Macaulay, your little MJ's missing you.
Michael.
Come back.
Hey, Southwest Florida, you've stuck with us through thick and thin.
Feast and famine.
War and peace and everything in between. Don't think for a minute we don't appreciate it. No matter how we may come across, we love this damn job. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney here. Monday afternoon. A lot of you on the roads now and wondering if you're going to be able to get home in one piece. Well, we're going to hang out with you.
Look, I don't want another word about Chinese using freighters as drone platforms, okay? I don't want to hear another word about it.
Nobody's going to bring up another word about it.
The right people know.
Good. Let them know. Let them stay up at night worrying about it. There's nothing that Colonel Stan can do about it. You showed me. I want that picture posted.
Oh, General Pavel?
Of General Pavel. Okay, let me just set the stage for you, and then you can look at it on our Facebook page or wherever we're going to post this on social media. Haney was telling me that the propaganda coming out of the Ukraine and in throughout Europe is that the Ukraine are really winning this war against Russia. So much so, and you've read about it yourself, that they've been knocking off the Russian top generals. Putin is beside himself. He didn't think it would take this long.
Mm-hmm.
And so apparently they, Putin and the government, have to recall generals in the Russian army who have since retired. And Haney pointed out to me this general named who?
General Pavel.
General Pavel, who retired about 5 years ago, thinking that there's no way he'd have to, you know, come go back into the service
now,
of his country.
The word is, General Pavel served with distinction for many years and retired about 5 years ago.
And eight.
And in his retirement, you know, you had all those years of military discipline. And in retirement, I think the man, rightly so,
started to live again.
He said, you know what? I would like to eat five meals a day with vodka.
If you go, in a matter of moments, if you go to our Facebook page, we will show you a picture of the man leading the charge for the Russian army,
yeah,
General Pavel.
They need that frontline leadership.
They have taken him out of retirement and told him, get back to work for the country. And my God. Hey, word. This guy's a piece of work.
Now, you're judging General Pavel harshly. Due to his large size, he requires twice the body armor of a normal man. So think? That may cause him to appear somewhat portly. But don't fool yourself.
He's obese. He's like a blimp. Take a look at it. And you be the judge.
Poor guy's got that pant fat.
Yeah, oh yeah. Traffic brought to you by Firehouse Subs, three but Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral.
You know, he retires and he thinks, I'm done with that life.
He ain't. They dragged him back. Well, hooked him up to a winch back in. This guy's a mess. Couple of things on the board for you. Both Fort Myers. We got a crash. Daniels Parkway and Plantation Road.
I don't think the WWE would let him wrestle for medical reasons.
Correct. The other one, disabled vehicle. Ben C. Pratt and Colonial Parkway. That would be Colonial Boulevard. And you are up to date. One more traffic update coming for you in about 20 minutes or so.
Now, again, I don't know who that man is, if a General Pavel exists, but that's what we're being fed anyway.
He's 500 pounds.
They say 280.
That's a lie. Mark Haney and the news.
But he's an important man. That, believe it or not, that uniform,
yeah,
custom made.
They had to. They don't have one on the rack. Mark Haney and the news, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
There was a time before cable, when the local anchorman reigned supreme.
General Pavel.
When people believed everything they heard.
If nothing else, brilliant propaganda.
It's great.
This was an age when only men were allowed to read the news. One anchorman was more man than the rest.
Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words,
Mark Haney
was the balls.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Monday, June 27th.
Double M, double X, double I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know.
General Pavel.
General Sir.
He can't lift his arm above his shoulder.
We're going to restore discipline to this arm. I mean...
Time now for things you didn't know.
Okay. Let's keep the volume down a little bit. We have headphones for a reason in this business. We have headphones for a reason.
Yeah, I'm training over here.
Yeah, well, then, you know what? Train at a lower level.
Yeah, sure.
Does that take precedence over a live broadcast?
Yeah, does that take precedence over a broadcast?
Is that what you're teaching him?
You know, why don't you go on?
Sick of him. I ain't going to miss that. How can I possibly miss that?
Well, he's an anger sponge.
Yes. Yes, he is.
If I ask you right now to picture in your mind Bubba from Forrest Gump, it should come through right, yep, very clear.
Yep.
And that is the late actor Michael T. Williamson. He made that role his own. He made it iconic. But he was not the only actor considered for that role. Tupac auditioned for the role of Bubba in Forrest Gump and did not get it.
Tupac's a sugar did that?
Yep.
He wasn't a bad actor. He was in some movies, and he was a pretty good actor.
But I don't see him doing
it. No, not even close.
Uh-uh. I mean, sometimes, you're auditioning, but for the wrong role.
Correct.
You know, you asked me to dumb it down a lot, and
yeah,
I will.
That's what I do. I ask you to dumb it down.
You do. You say, hey, don't.
I make it palatable.
You say, don't mention this, don't mention that. Okay, I got you. I got you.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why, but in the past couple of days, there's been a lot of talk about the Supreme Court. Did you know there has not been a photograph of the Supreme Court in session since 1937.
I do know that. They don't allow it.
In that year, they completely did away with it. They have had a complete ban on cameras in the courtroom since then.
On occasion, they will let audio be played if it's something big, but there is no cameras. That is hallowed ground.
Mm-hmm. And again, there's been a lot of talk about it. I'm not sure what it's about.
A lot of talk.
You know, but for some reason.
I
thought you might find that interesting.
People get all panicky about it.
Panicky? These are great men and women.
They are.
You enjoy a game of chess from time to time, don't you?
I do. I love chess.
Do you know where the term checkmate came from?
Do not.
It comes from an Arabic phrase, shamat,
Ooh.
Which translates to, your king is left helpless.
All right. Makes sense. Makes complete sense.
And if there's one thing we know a little bit about in this room, it's marriage.
Yes, sure.
And a lot of craziness around marriage. Statistics show that about 6% of couples who go through the entire divorce process, split everything up, all the papers signed, the kids accounted for, they wind up remarrying each other.
Yep. Yeah.
I can't understand that.
Nor I.
I mean, if your boyfriend and girlfriend, you break up and get back together, okay, well, no harm, no foul. But if you have the nerve,
the unmitigated gall,
to go through all of that, destroy your lives, destroy any wealth you may have, and then decide, oh, well.
If anybody wants to be dissuaded from doing that, I just bring up one couple, Robert Wagner and Natalie Wood. They were married very young. They divorced. Years went by. They decided to marry again. What happened? Just saying.
Well, it ended well for one of them.
Yeah. Want to take a break?
In a moment. Bill, Stan, you know, with athletes, it's fairly simple these days with things being televised. You know, you and I, we watched the rise and then the dominance of Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And the world agreed, there's nobody better than him.
That's how I feel.
And the same thing with the greats like Marino.
Yeah.
They're all out there. But what if...
Oh, you were talking about this in the headlines, and this has intrigued me.
What if someone is just as dominant in their chosen field, but their chosen field is a little bit under the radar? Does it make their achievements any less?
It does not.
There's an annual county fair called the Virginia-Kentucky District Fair. It's well established. It's been around for over a century. And that long history includes a lot of baking and cooking contests.
Yes. Yeah.
The internet has become intrigued with this particular fair, all because of a woman named Linda Skeens. Who is Linda Skeens?
Yeah, who is she?
She completely dominated the field this year. It happened earlier this month, but the list of winners just went viral. And if you want to know the winners, it's pretty simple. It's the name Linda Skeens over and over and over again. If you think I am exaggerating, there are far too many wins or blue ribbons to list them all. What we can tell you, she won best cake.
Ooh.
Best pie.
Yeah.
Best brownies. Best jelly. Best jam, best applesauce, best apple butter, best pumpkin butter, best sauerkraut, best spaghetti sauce, and her strawberry fudge.
Yeah.
Won best overall baked good.
Wow. You know what? I got one. I bet you there's one thread of thing there. L-A-R-D.
Stan, I can appreciate that you thought I was done. I was merely pausing.
More?
Think about horse racing.
Yeah.
Win, place, show.
Yeah.
She also placed first, second, and third in three baking categories. She's basically competing against herself.
That's what it is.
Best cookies, best bread, best candy. 1, 2, 3. Linda Skeens.
There's the blue ribbons. And look at that.
And if that's still not enough for you, and we haven't listed them all, she also swept all three in the embroidery category as well.
Who is this woman?
Well, she's become an internet legend overnight. But nobody can find her.
This should be easy enough to find. You got her name. Check with DMV.
Can't find any pictures. What they could find were photos of her award-winning canned foods.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right there.
And with the internet putting out a bolo on Linda Skeens, another Virginia woman named Linda Skeens has had to post repeatedly on Facebook, she's not the one they're looking for. She's not that great. People from all over have been sending her requests to come cook Thanksgiving for them this year.
Wow.
So as of today, no word on who Linda Skeens is.
Linda, come forward, please.
That's a gift meant to be shared.
Yes, it is.
On the other side of the spectrum, 60-year-old Alan Burnett got caught with drugs Thursday night in Alabama. while wearing a bright purple t-shirt that said, quote, "I'm too good for drugs." He was arrested for meth near his hometown of Asheville, Alabama. They charged him with possession of methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia. He was still in the shirt when the mugshot was taken, joining others in that particular Hall of Fame, like the shirt that said, "I love crystal meth. Who needs drugs? No, seriously, I have drugs." And, of course, the ever-present DARE t-shirt.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, I thought Nancy Reagan solved that.
Yeah, just say no.
Yeah, simple as that. Yeah. What are you, a moron?
Come on. How hard is it?
I think it's something we can all identify with. I think kids still do it today. The game of hide and seek. And out of your group, there was probably that one that would really go the extra mile. And maybe you've never thought about it. What happens to those kids when they grow up? The ones that are hide and seek all-stars, because that's only a great skill for a short window. Does the skill leave you, or do you still have those skills as an adult? A police officer in northeast Oklahoma tried to pull a man over last Thursday for not wearing a seatbelt. He decided to take off. Turned out, for good reason. He had a ton of stolen stuff in his truck that was linked to two burglaries. That's why he weighed his odds and felt he was better off fleeing. The driver was a 23-year-old named Wolfberry.
What? Just Wolfberry?
Yes. I think his first name is Wolf, last name Berry.
Wolfberry.
Yep. His middle name is Rocktober. He floored it, got into a high-speed chase that finally ended when he crashed, but he wasn't done.
No.
They never are. And as opposed to fleeing, you know, at triple digits, he realized, maybe I'm better off on foot. And it worked for a minute. They didn't find him at first, because he's very good at hide and seek. He'll go the extra mile. He'll go places you won't go.
Yep.
They ended up finding him hiding inside a pile of cow manure.
Oh.
And according to police, he was pretty damn dedicated, because they didn't find him, and they estimate he had been in the manure, quiet as a mouse, for several hours. That doesn't change the charges that he's facing, and there are a lot of them, and it turns out he had a loaded gun in the car with the stolen stuff, so felony, 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 you get a felony, you get a felony. And that's the news for today, Monday, June 27th.
Double M, double X, double I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Marky Haney, telling it like it is.
Coming up, roundtable discussion on how General Pavel will affect the course of the war.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for spending your Monday with us. Greatly appreciated. Sean Roberts coming up at 6 o'clock to take you through your Monday evening.
We're all short-timers now.
Yeah, kinda. Not yet. Soon.
Okay, let me know.
I will.
I'll hang on as long as I can.
I appreciate that. Traffic brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Three Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. All right, a couple of things on the board. Fort Myers got a crash, Gladiolus Drive and McGregor Boulevard. And this one showing up in Bonita Springs, it's a crash. Bonita Beach Road and Bonita Grand Road. And you are up to date.
I think it's time for us to get away. We've both been fed up with our day-to-day. And I've got this perfect place for us in mind. A slice of heaven where we can unwind. Let's go to Fort Myers on the beach.
What?
Right about sunset.
What?
We're gonna walk in hand in hand, and I swear I'll never forget.
What?
How you smile and you say to me, let's come back here real soon. Watch the sun disappear and wait for the moon.
Where am I? In the Caribbean somewhere? Where am I? Where am I? Aruba, Bahamas?
I just can't wait to hold you close to me.
So romantic.
And yeah. Make new promises beside the sea. We'll fall for each other once again.
Where am I, the French Riviera?
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to this place.
Never Boy, where is this?
Go to Fort Myers on the beach, right about sunset. We're going to walk in hand in hand, and I swear I'll never forget. How you smile and you say to me, let's come back here real soon. Watch the sun disappear and wait for the moon.
I don't want to ever see my mother have to go through this again. Never, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, I hate you. That's love. That's love.
Oh, yeah. Black love.
That's love. Black love.
We touch down, catch a cab, and head straight for the shore. We can get there fast enough. This is what we've waited for. And we're in Fort Myers on the beach, right about sunset. We're walking hand in hand, and I swear I'll never forget. How you smile and you say to me, let's come back here real soon. Watch the sun disappear and wait for the moon. Let's go to Fort Myers on the beach, right about sunset. We're walking hand in hand, and I swear I'll never forget. How you smile and you say to me, let's come back here real soon. Watch the sun disappear and wait for the moon.
Classic comedy brought to you by Best Home Services. Appointments available now.
GetBest.com.
Women get obsessed with romance. I think it also comes from the nicknames we get growing up. Like my dad growing up called me Princess, right? Princess. He drilled into my head as a kid that I'm a freaking princess. And then I grew up and I got into the real world and I realized that no one else was on board. The whole princess thing, right? Princesses don't lose their virginity at Lollapalooza. That's just not... I think we need to start calling kids things to prepare them for real life. You know, get in the car, rehab, let's go. Women get called things that make them obsessed with romance. Guys get called things that make them obsessed with sports, right? You guys get called, like, champ. Ugh. Sport. You guys are so obsessed with sports, you guys can't even refer to increments of a relationship without referring to sports, right? First base. We got to second base. Like, you don't see women running around referring to increments of our relationships through things we like. It's not like last night, me and Mark. Chanel purse.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. John is official today. I guess he's at some point today, he's going to be in the system as an employee.
Will he be a card holder?
He will be a card holder. I think the keyboard and the strokes of the keyboard are going in, and he's going to be, he doesn't realize now, but he's going to be dragged into the Beasley system. And jeez,
you know,
best of luck to him.
I mean, he volunteered.
He did. He said, "Bring it on."
Evidently, the student has become the teacher.
Yes,
rapidly.
Very rapidly, as Junior over the weekend went and copied John, our new producer.
He's trying to look exactly like John.
Yep. Went and shaved his head down, got the glasses on. Boy, you evidently
what,
were
what is
influenced.
Wrong with you?
I just need a choker now, that's it.
Why are you doing this?
Oh, these hurt. I have to take them off.
Yeah, why are you doing it? Why with
those,
the
those
head,
are prescription,
head, head
yeah.
shaving? Look at the tan line on that head shave, too.
Well, I do this every couple months. I shave my head. Not really this low. I went down all the way.
Yeah, because you're copying John.
Well, no, I think I know.
Yeah,
what
I
want to
be just like him.
You should.
I look up to him, you know.
You should.
Well, he's now kind of your boss.
Yeah, kind of. He's kind of is.
You guys ever remember the movie Single White Female?
I don't know, but I like the way you took the mic right away from him.
I love
him.
It. That I like that.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, that
movie.
Was a great movie with Bridget Fonda. She
Boy.
Was hot then.
Oh my God!
God, she was hot.
He's hot now.
You. To you, maybe. To you. This is Junior Farewell Week, and I know a lot of you are celebrating.
I think I know why he did that.
What, shaved his head like John?
Well, he shaved it clean to the bone.
Just like John?
Yep. Because he's still got
clean
the rest,
to the bone.
The rest of this week with us, as long as he behaves. And then he's got vacation.
Yeah.
And then he starts school. So he's thinking in a couple of weeks, it'll just be short hair, a little stub.
Yeah, by the time I start school, it'll look a little bit normal.
Well, that's what they, in the neighborhood that I grew up in, there was the family that before school started, they took their kids one haircut a year. And
school picture.
And balled it right down, and it lasted the year.
School picture, everybody's got flat tops. By the end of the year, they're hippies.
Yeah, one haircut a year, right before school. Oh, by the way, we were talking about that. Did you ever go to your orientation to see what it's really going to be like and what you have to dress like? And
yeah, I did.
What number?
Yeah,
short,
I went last Friday. I went last
on?
Friday, yeah.
What bus are you on?
What short bus? Dude, yeah. You're a dick.
Whatever. What are you going to have to wear?
Yeah, what are you going to have to wear?
It's just like a collared shirt. Yeah, you know, I could wear like jeans with it or, you know. Like
so some, you don't have to wear
like
a tie?
Like Dickies or something. No, I don't have to wear a tie.
Or like some sort of Boy Scout scarf?
No, dude. It's just a
kerchief.
It's just a collared shirt. That's
an ascot.
It.
Yeah. Does it have to be a certain color?
It's blue. They're all blue.
Yeah, it has
so,
to be blue.
School colors. Pride.
So as long as you're wearing a blue, I'm assuming, is it long sleeved?
No, it's short sleeved. Dry fit.
A tank top.
Nice and breathable. Yeah.
So as long as you're wearing that blue shirt, you can wear whatever pant you want?
Well,
that would be a trouser.
You know, yeah, I can wear jeans, you know, like a pair of Dickies or something.
A trouser.
So either, a trouser, yeah.
So what you're saying is blue jeans or khaki, nothing else.
Yeah. I can't wear my clamming shorts.
Do you, You have to learn some sort of secret handshake so that you know that you're dealing with a fellow student. Or?
That's top secret. I can't. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of secrets at Six Figure Community College.
He'll know he's dealing with fellow students when they jam him in a locker.
Hey, nerd!
You do remember what that was like, don't you?
Oh, no, I don't. They would try it once, and then I would alert the proper authority figures.
Yeah. That's and what
that
happened
would be,
before.
That would be knocked out immediately.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I cannot imagine, even at his age, going back into a classroom.
Oh, I can't picture it. That's why they have continuing education where you could learn online.
No, I'm not going to do that. This is more hands-on. And then plus, I don't have to be here, so that's great.
Blue skies. Yeah. Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.